ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter Iti Prahasita Pangam Alakai Rupa Sobitam Alakai Rupa Sobitam Lasat Pankaja Kinchalga Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka Dukulam Brista Kundalam Dukulam Krista Kundalam Spurat Kritiya Valaya Spurat Kirita Valaya Haranipuramekalam Sankachakragada Padma Malamani Uttar Mardimat Malamani Uttamar Dimat Priti Pragasita Pangam Priti Pragasita Pangam Alakai Rupa Sobitam Alakai Rupa Sobitam Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka Dukulam Rista Kundalam Spurat Kirita Valaya Haranipuramekalam Sankchakragada Padma Malamani Uttamardimat Priti Merciful Prahasita Smiling Apangam Sidelong Glance Akalai With Curling Hair Rupa Beauty Sobitam Increased Lasat Glittering Pankaja, of the lotus, Kinjalka, saffron, Dukulam, clothing, Mrista, glittering, Gundalam, earrings, Spurat, shiny, Kirita, helmet, Valaya, bangles, Hara, necklace, Nupura, ankle belts, Mekalam, belt, Sanka, Conchal, Chakra, Wheel, Gada, Club, Padma, Lotus Flower, Mala, Garland, Money, Pearls, Uttama, First Class, Ritimat, Still More Beautified on Account of This. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Lord is super excellently beautiful on account of his own and merciful smile and his sidelong glance upon his devotees. His black hair is curly and his garments waning in the wind appear like flying saffron pollen from lotus flowers. His glittering earrings, shining helmet, bangles, garland, ankle belts, waist belt, and various other bodily ornaments combined with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower to increase the natural beauty of the Kasturba pearl on his chest. We'll read the purport, very short purport and sweet purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Prahasita Panga, referring to Krishna's smile and sidelong glances at his devotees, specially applies to his dealings with the gopis. Krishna is always in a joking mood when he increases the feeling of conjugal rasa in the hearts of the gopis. The conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower can be either held in his hand or seen on the palms of his hand. According to palmistry, the signs of a conch shell, club, lotus flower, and disc mark the palms of great personalities and especially increase the supreme personality of Godhead. Om Agyana Timarandas Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurve Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Sapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahim Tada Tiswa Padantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Hare Krishna. This is a very sweet and very technical verse also for us, you know. But one sense it's not, because our Radha Ballabha has got all these features, isn't it? Look at Radha Ballabha closely later on, after the class, and you can see that all these, whatever has been said here, is matching up with our Radha Ballabha. Okay? So, we need not have to go anywhere, you know. All exactly, Radha Ballabha is exactly the same as the description which is given here. So, putting into context, what's happening here is, Lord Shiva is telling his prayer, which is known as Rudra Gita, to the sons of Prachinaya Barishat, and his short, or you can say as Prachetas, that's what it's known as, Prachetas. Okay? Now the Prachetas has been instructed by their parents. Okay, they are 10 in numbers, remember, 10 people, very cooperative. Okay, they are always in unity, unlike the Kali Yuga children's. Okay? 10 children, 10 sons, highly united together. Now, these 10 sons were instructed by their father, Prachinaya Bharat, to do austerity before marriage. This is a culture of the Vedic system, which was prevailing in India before, and now, not much anyway. So, before marriage, the son is asked to do austerities for the pleasure of Krishna, and then he can get married so that he becomes a devotee of Krishna and the progeny is also a devotee of Krishna, so that the society is a Krishna conscious society, which wanted by Srila Prabhupada. That is what Krishna, Srila Prabhupada wants in a Krishna conscious society. Now, Prachetas, on instruction of their father, they were looking for places, okay, where we can do nice austerities. As they were looking, they came across a very silent, nice place with a lake, you know, filled with trees and flowers and plants and all that. Very nice environment for sadhana. So they were thinking, okay, let us try to do our austerity in this place. So as they were thinking, Lord Shiva came out of the lake. We have to note one point here. Now, Lord Shiva, what he does is for his devotees, people who are praying to Lord Shiva, they pray for material desires, you know. I want a nice family, an IT job, 100K or 200K. If I'm earning 100K, I want 120K. If I'm earning 150, I want 200K. All these desires, they'll go with Lord Shiva. Now, Lord Shiva, what he does is, okay, take it. Leave me alone. Because I want to do my chanting, you know. Say, some of us, when we are chanting, they'll say, Prabhu, we'll finish. I'll come back, you know. So, Lord Shiva is all the time chanting. So, what he does is, okay, take away. What do you want? Car. Okay. You want Melbourne? You want PR? Take it. You want permanent residency? Take it. Leave me alone. I want to chant. But that Lord Shiva himself has left his chanting and came here. Why is that? You are chanting, okay? But suddenly you leave the chanting and you go. Yes, ma'am. Exactly. Seeing Prachetas as a devotee of Krishna, Lord Shiva wants to please the Lord by engaging the devotees in his service. So he left his service and went down and greeted the Prachetas so that I will tell them how to do the austerity to please the Lord, because that's what I am doing. Lord Shiva, I'm saying, when I said I, means Lord Shiva said. Lord Shiva said, yes, I am meditating on Lord Shankarshan, so I will tell you the path where you can also worship. And in the later chapters, you can see that the Prachetas were able to have the darshan of Lord Vishnu. They were meditating underwater for 10,000 years, and the Lord also said, I will also come underwater. So the Lord also went inside the water to meet them, to greet them. So this is a background. Okay. Rudra Gita, which is being, you know, narrated here from, I think it starts from verse number 33, if I'm correct. Text number 33 onwards, Lord Shiva started glorifying Krishna. So it starts on, and now we are on 47, 48. So basically, Lord Shiva is giving the prayer, Rudra Gita, to the sons of Prachinya Bharat or Prachetas. It's a prayer or a mantra, you know. We call it as a prayer. In Srimad Bhagavatam, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, there are four types of prayers which has been talked about. Right? So let us talk a little bit and then expand our lecture. Four types of prayers, which has been broadly classified into. Now, what's the first type of prayer? The first type of prayer is what Lord Shiva is doing, praising the Lord. You praise the Lord. That is the first kind of prayer. The second kind of prayer is thanking the Lord. You thank the Lord. What is a typical example of this prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam? There are many. Just a sample, thanking the Lord. Kunti Maharani prayers. Okay. Anyone, anything else? Someone was in serious problem and Krishna came and saved them. Yes. Basically, you know, his mood of, you know, thanking the Lord. Glorifying as well as thanking. Okay. The next one is praying to the Lord for PR and other things. But to the Lord. You know, coming here, I will follow all the principles. But please give me job, higher job, PR. Okay. I want a property in Albert Park. All these prayers. Okay. Material desires, but still approaching Lord. Okay? And what's the example for that? Dhruva Maharaj, material desires. And the last one is praying for forgiveness. I have done a mistake. Oh Lord, please forgive me. This is also a prayer in the mood of forgiveness. Example is Lord Brahma. After he stole the... He was very, very, in a forgiving mood. He was asking, Lord, please forgive me. I've done a big offense. In 1 second, I was sidetracked. Okay, so these are the prayers. Now, this prayer is given to Pratetas for worshipping the Lord, isn't it? The Lord Shiva did not give the prayers. Take the prayers and go away. You have to worship the Lord. So that is the bottom line of giving the prayer. In line to the worship, there are 5 kinds of worship in the scriptures. Okay, especially in Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord is categorizing worshippers as 5 kinds of worshippers. Okay, these are all connected, interconnected. So we'll go through like a chain. Okay. So there are 5 kinds of worshippers. What are the 5 kinds of worshippers? The first worshippers, around 7 to 8 chapter, the Lord is talking about demigod worshippers. You know, people pray to demigods for, again, material desires. Because what can the demigod give? The demigods, they are the controllers of the universe, okay? And you go to them and you basically ask them, I want this. If you go to a Melbourne council, right? You have to go and talk to about the council taxes and all that. You're not going to go to ask them, get me some groceries, right? It is like that. So you go to a demigod, basically, you know, to get material desires. I've got a body. I've got my 10 senses. And try to please my senses. That is the whole point. Isn't it? So that is why they go to demigod. So this is, first is demigod worship. And the second worshippers are the worshippers of the universal form of the Lord. We'll come back to that in a second, okay? Why universal form? So universal form worshippers. The third worshippers are, they don't know that Krishna has got this beautiful form as described by Lord Shiva, who has seen Krishna. Okay? Lord Shiva has seen Krishna. And therefore he's saying, Krishna has got a curly hair. He has got a belt. Look at Radha Ballabha also. Today, I can't see whether they'll... So, you know, belt, ankle belt, you know, all these belts and all that. Lord Shiva is saying, this is how Krishna is. And that is a description. And Srila Prabhupada is also saying, that is how it is. So it's matching up. And the third kind of worshippers, they don't know that Krishna has got a form. And therefore, they worship the light which is coming from Krishna. So effulgent Krishna is. And the light itself is known as Brahma Jyoti, which is liberation. You just go into and merge into the light, that is liberation. You know, you do, will not have any problems of this birth, death, old age, disease. And this is the effulgence of the Lord, known as Brahma Jyoti, or impersonal liberation. You know, impersonal liberation. So the third kinds of worshippers, they seek that. And the fourth worshipper, what do? Again, they approach Krishna for material desires, but they are approaching Krishna. They are not approaching demigods. They know that Krishna is a person. And that has been explained in Chaturvidya, Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam. Okay? In 7.16, where Krishna says, yes, I know my devotees, there are four. There are four types. They know, they love me, but still they come under these four categories. They are devotees. Yes, I acknowledge. What are the categories? One who is in need of money. They come to me because it's a material world. They're struggling. And two, people who are in distress. Because the material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. You may be temporarily happy, but something is waiting. Can't be for a long time. You may be in a good job, but you have to lose a job. Unfortunately, that's how it is, right? But again, you'll get a job. But that period of suffering will be there. This is how it is. So, people in need of money, they'll approach me. People in need of distress, they come to me. Then, people are very inquisitive. They want to know, how come I am a person? How come I am so powerful? Everything is coming from me. I'm inside, outside, everything. So therefore, they're inquisitive, they come to me. That's also fine. And people who wants to get knowledge from me, knowledge of me, and they'll also come to me. So Krishna gives that four categories, okay? And that is the fourth type of worship. The fifth one, Krishna himself recommends. That's the best. They are Mahatmas. They always surrender to me and they'll be in the spiritual energy, my energy. They don't want to leave. Okay? And according to Krishna, this is the best. Because they always be in the spiritual energy. Like this Prabhu. Always spiritual energy. So, he is known as Mahatma. Mahatma Sudurlabha. Very rare. They're very rare. Not everyone can do. Okay? Very rare personality. I want to be always in the spiritual energy. Because Krishna has given a choice. You can be in the material energy or spiritual energy. Some people say, I don't want spiritual energy at all. I want to be in the material energy. If you want to see the personality, go and stand there outside. After the class, 9:30, in the corner of Mill Street, you can see all of them. Okay? But people who want to surrender to Krishna's spiritual energy, we are all there. And we have to go. Okay? So, these are the five kinds of worshippers. In the universal form, right? The universal form, in the third canto of Bhagavatam, it says that it is an imaginary form in one sense, okay? Because Bhagavatam gives a very different context in different topics, okay? The form, it's talking about the form, right? But we have to understand very clearly what the representation of Bhagavatam is. Just because Srimad Bhagavatam said third canto that the universal form is imaginary, therefore Krishna is imaginary, and therefore our Krishna conscious. No, I'll not do it. Thank you. So we have to understand in the right perspective. And therefore, we are going to talk about the forms of the Lord. You know that forms of the Lord? We should know. The Lord has got five forms. So that then we will know clearly. The first form of the Supreme Lord is Para, where the Lord is present in his own abode, Goloka Vrindavana, as Sachit Ananda form. Okay? In the material world also, we have also got form. Right? We have got a form. But this form is dissolvable, dissolving form. Soon it will go. When I was a student, basically I was a chemistry student, we used to take copper, right, or zinc, and put into hydrochloric acid. It dissolves, and after some time, what do you have? No copper, no zinc. All dissolves into acid. It becomes zinc sulfate. Of course, it is there, but it dissolves. In the same way, the metal energy gives us body, and it will dissolve. At the end of the lifetime. Again, one more body, dissolve. This is what is going on. Body. So we have also got a form, but it's a temporary form, dissolvable form. Why do you say that? Because recently, when I went to India, my mother-in-law passed away. She was here, you know, 2 years back. Form. Now, there is no form, only photo is there. That is the whole point Krishna is explaining in the second chapter, right? The body is constantly changing. Childhood to boyhood, boyhood to old age, boyhood to youth, youth to adolescent, adolescent to old age. And then the form disappears. Then the soul goes one more body. So the form dissolves. But Krishna's form is Sachit Ananda. It will not dissolve. It is eternal. And from this form, everything comes. Okay? So that is a para. The second one is Vyuha. Chatur Vyuha form. Where the Lord expands into Balaram and then into the four Chatur Vyuha. What is that? Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Anuruddha, and then the second quadruple and all that. The material, you know, Karanathagadai Vishnu, Garbhodakashai Vishnu, Siradaka, all this expansion comes. This is Chaturviga expansions. For the maintenance of this world. This world is very complex, you know, and Lord Vishnu only is maintaining. It's not easy to maintain. And Lord Vishnu is working through his form. That is a form of the Lord. The third form is Vaibhav Prakash. Unlimited form. From Macha, Kurma, Vamana, Narasimha, Varaha, and so many forms. It is said that the Lord has got forms just like the waves of the sea. So many forms he has got. These come under the Vaibhav Prakash. Prakash is here. Vaibhav Prakash form. Okay, that's the third one. The fourth one is Antaryami. Lord is present as super soul. That is a form also, Lord. Okay? Yes? And the last one is what's the last one? Archavigraha. That is what is our topic, no? Archavigraha. Now, it is said that not in a very critical sense, but it is said that Archavigraha, you know, we are all neophytes in one stage. This is the standard of Bhagavatam. Just imagine, the standard of Bhagavatam is saying, Archavigraha we are doing, only neophytes will do. That means, in comparison to the pure devotee, our level is there. That is what Bhagavatam is focusing. It is not that, oh, Archavigraha, that means neophyte, that means, okay, we will go to Para and we'll hug Krishna. It is not like that. Archavigraha, they're saying neophyte because as a conditioned person, right, I cannot see the para form. Can I see the Lord's eternal Satchitananda Vigraha form? Even if Krishna stands here, can I know? He's standing there. He's everywhere. In every atom is there. But is it possible for me to see him? I cannot see. First form is ruled out. Then, as Chaturvyuha, the Lord's Garbhodakashai Vishnu, universes are coming from his body. And Lord is present as Paramatma in this Prabhu's, you know, I cannot see that. That form I don't see. And then unlimited expansion, Macha, Kurma, Vamanava, Narasimha, everywhere, that expansion I cannot see. Then none of the four forms I cannot see, the Para, I cannot see the Chaturvyuga, I cannot see the, what's the third one? Vaibhav, I cannot see. The fourth one, Super Soul also, I cannot see. But one thing I can see is this Lord, because the Lord is made up of the material elements, although it's not a material. It's made up of material elements, and I have got a material eyes. My spiritual eyes is not manifested yet. And therefore, I can relate. Yes, Krishna is wearing, he's got a curly hair. He's wearing helmet. Oh, what a beautiful dress. Therefore, it is meant for us to elevate. And therefore, Krishna is very kind that is come and present in that Archavigraha. And therefore, it is our job to worship and uplift the consciousness. Okay? So, in that sense, they said, yes, Archavigraha, we have to see, because we can only see material form. We cannot see spiritual form at this stage. Later on, we can see. So, our whole attention should be on Archavigraha. And that is why all the devotees, the temple, Srila Prabhupada has made this temple so that everything is centered around Radha Ballabha. Okay? And so we are focusing, we are doing worship and all that. Right? Now, don't worry, the class is not going to finish. Even though it's a very technical topic, I want to go more technical also. In this verse, okay, Krishna is talking, Lord Shiva is talking about the smile of Krishna. There are two smiles. So let us dedicate this chapter, this little bit of the class to the smile, okay? We'll talk about all smiles because, remember, we will never get an opportunity to talk about smile. Yes? Even though we smile, but we don't want to talk about smile. There are two types of smile. One is a material smile and the other one is a spiritual smile. Okay? Prabhu, what is this going on? Huh? We heard about, you know, topics, you know, knowledge, material and spiritual. Smile is also material and spiritual? Yes? Yes, Prabhu? No? It is there. The smile on the Lord's universal form is material. The smile on Radha Ballabha is spiritual. Is it clear? No. Still confusing, no? Confusing, right? See, the smile on the universal form of the Lord is Maya. It will attract the people. That is why we are attracted to the material world. Through the universal form. The Lord is a universal form. He attracted smile. But the smile of Radha Ballabha is for his devotees. So when you come and see the smile of Radha Ballabha, it is spiritual. So the devotees like that. And they are captured and they become devotees, Krishna conscious. But if you are enchanted by the smile of the universal form Maya, what happens? You go that side. You will be stuck. It will pull you down. We see sometimes smile, you know, on the big billboards, you know. A girl is nicely smiling with a phone. Ah, what is that in her hand? Samsung. I'm going to buy Samsung. See, that smile has got nothing to do with the lady. But Samsung, she's having a Samsung phone and smiling. Therefore, I want the phone. See, this is the conditioned trap by Maya. That's also smile. This is also smile. Now, to talk a little bit further, Rupa Goswami, our Acharya, also spoke about smile. Do you know that? No. So you know now, okay? In the 43rd chapter of Nectar of Devotion, okay, Rupa Goswami talks about six types of smile. Okay? Now, you know the smile, and I want a few people to demonstrate this, please. Okay? It's a serious matter. Smile, okay? Because in Krishna conscious, it is very serious. We are not doing that. We have to smile. We know we are busy, but smile. Okay? Six, well, how many types of smile Rupa Goswami is talking? Six types, okay? Right? You are going to demonstrate, you too, okay? Listen carefully. Him also. Listen carefully, okay? You're going to do something. The first smile is known as Smita. It's like this, okay? Right? That is Smita. I'm not saying, Rupa Goswami is saying, okay? Please, you can refer to for Nectar of Devotion. The second smile is known as Hasita, where slowly you're showing your teeth. Okay? Hasita. We'll come back in a minute. Why the door is open? The third smile is Vihasita, where you show your full teeth. Okay? The These are the three major ones, according to Rupa Goswami. Okay? First is smita, no showing the teeth. The second one is asita, showing just the front four teeth. The third one is vihasita, where 10 or 11 teeth. Okay? Then comes the very difficult part. Okay? Observe. Difficult part is coming now. Primary is very easy. Avahasita comes where a person, his nose is like puffed like this, and his eyes will be squint, you know, like this. This is avahasita. Okay. The next one is appahasita. Appi, you can say appi because it's like a monkey style. What you have to do is, along with the smile, like your eyes should be squint, your nose puffed, and your shoulder should be shaking, and you are almost in crying. Like this. Okay? This is appahasita. The last one is atihasita. Atihasita. Where you are basically smiling, clapping your hands, jumping. Where people are doing the kirtan, okay? All right? Now, a question to all of you. Of all this, which is Krishna exhibiting right now? Very good. Smita. Where Krishna is not showing he said, you come to my abode, I'll... But now... That's it. This is Krishna's logic. Okay? Just... Hello. That's it. I don't know you much. I don't know you much. If you know it, then you'll smile. Okay? I know you, Prabhu, so... Laughing. So, Krishna smile in the altar. Have you seen any photo where you can see Krishna's teeth? Anywhere? Chennai, Gujarat, Mumbai. But one deity is there, which will show the whole mouth, which is Narasimha Bhagavan. That is different category. That is anger. But in this category. Okay? Now, can you show me what is appahasita? How is it? What is appahasita? Can you stand up there only? Stand up. Stand up. So everyone have to say, stand up. That's okay, don't worry. I'm not calling you. Yeah. You have to show what is appahasita. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. You have to make your eyes squint. One. And then your nose puffed like this. Yeah. So this is appahasita. And you, atihasita, the last one. Stand up. Where? Listen carefully and you have to do. You have to smile, clap your hands, and you have to jump. So, Prabhu is vihasita. Vihasita means all the teeth showing, Prabhu. Yes. Good. So you understand now? These are the six types Rupa Goswami is saying. And there is also Krishna. The smiling Krishna name is Smita Krishna. There is a sannyasi in Sweden. His name is Smita Krishna. He's always smiling. I was just saying that. His images, always smiling face. So, Srila Prabhupada has given him. He's a disciple. You know Prabhu? See, Prabhu has seen him when he went there. So, really, you know, I saw a few photos in the YouTube. You can go and see. Just put Smita Krishna Swami. He is always smiling. So Srila Prabhupada gave him Smita Krishna. Smiling Krishna. Our Radha Ballabha is also Smita Krishna. Where? He will not show the teeth. Okay? This is about the smile. Bilva Mangala Thakur. Very, very powerful devotee of the Lord. He has completely come from the material energy to the spiritual energy. Okay? So he knows I should not be trapped in the material energy. And therefore he's a very, very strong devotee. He learned by mistakes. And those who learn by mistakes, right, they will never go to the material energy. So one of the characters is Bilva Mangala Thakur, who lived for 700 years. Can you imagine? 700 years. Do you want to live 700 years? Why? Then what do you want to get stuck? You will be stuck, no? So what do you want to do then? You want 70 years? 70 years, okay. Okay, no problem. So, sure. How old are you? See, 25 years, he should give a class actually. He has realized that Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. I don't want to live for 700 years. 70 years is enough. Hare Krishna. So, Bilva Mangala Thakur, just to glorify Krishna's smile, okay? He has got many prayers, bhajans, you know. One of the bhajans, I don't know, but I was referring. One of the bhajans, maybe Prabhu knows Prabhu, Sukadeva Prabhu. In that, he says, Krishna's body is maduram maduram. Beautiful, beautiful. Your name, Mataji? You know that? Two Madhura Mataji, not one, don't say one more. He says, Bilva Mangala Thakur, because, why Bilva Mangala Thakur says? Because he has personally seen Krishna. Krishna will come with the I go after milk, after Mahaprasadam. Do you have milk? Is it really, you know? Did you put, you know, all this? We go after that. But Bilva Mangala Thakur, Krishna brought milk to him. Okay? For more knowledge on Bilva Mangala Thakur, you can go and learn about him. It's a lot of things are there. Very, very powerful devotees. In Bilva Mangala Thakur, he's saying, Krishna's body is maduram, maduram. And Krishna's face is maduram, maduram, maduram. Three times. Krishna's smile is maduram, 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 maduram. Four times. This is what Bilva Mangala Thakur is saying. What is the gopis saying? They are saying, oh, don't ever go to Vrindavan. Okay, don't go to Vrindavan. And if at all, if you go to Keshi Ghat, there will be this beautiful Krishna standing. Don't look at him. Okay, second condition. Third condition, if you look at him, don't look at his face. And fourth, if you look at his smile, you're gone, finished. Not. Because I'm struggling, we are all struggling. We have lost all our material desires. Seeing the smile of Krishna. We have lost material desires. Gopis are saying. This is how powerful Krishna's smile is, right? Very, very powerful. So all this, why Krishna is doing? To attract his devotees, pastime. Because Krishna's his leela, his activities, the material world is pastime. What is our activity? Time pass, opposite. Because Krishna says spiritual world is opposite to the material world, right? The Lord's activity is pastime. Our activity is time pass. We are passing the time so that the body will be dissolved. This is all it is. And what's the last point I was thinking is this process of Krishna consciousness is given so that Krishna wants all of us to understand the reality of the difference between body and soul. Okay? That's the whole point in Krishna giving Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada starting this movement. One should know the difference between body and soul. And the body is temporary and it will die. You cannot protect it. But the soul is eternal and it is a part of Krishna, and therefore it should reach Krishna. That's the whole point. Okay? So finally, Isha Upanishad, in the verse 3, it says, one who is not inclined to Krishna in any form, not hearing about Krishna, not chanting his name, not eating Krishna prasad, he is the killer of the soul. Final statement by Rupa Goswami. Killer of the soul. He is killing his own soul. Because one will not realize that he is a soul if he doesn't come to Krishna. Why? Why? If you come to Krishna, you know you are a soul. And if you don't come to Krishna, you are not the soul. Because Krishna is completely spiritual. There is no material tinge in Krishna. If you chant Krishna's name, eat his prasadam, do service to him, associate the devotees, then all these will put you in the spiritual energy. And therefore you know that you are a spiritual person, that you are a soul. You are not just a body. The body is just a covering, like a dress. I am wearing this dress, but I don't bother. In the same way, if you do come to Krishna, you know that yes, a body is there, external dress, but still, I am a soul. And therefore, as a soul, your activity is to serve Krishna. Jivere Swarupoi Krishnere Nitya Das. As a soul, one will be a servant of Krishna. Because understanding the power, the potential of Krishna. Where is Mount Everest and where is a small ant? This is a comparison. We think, you know, we are great because of false ego. What is a false ego? One car accident, your hands will go away. Where is your false ego? Very risky platform, material energy. Okay? If Krishna is like Mount Everest, we are like an ant. We are trying to understand Krishna's position. It's not easy. And therefore, all the acharyas has given this process of Krishna consciousness. Right? Which is hearing and chanting, primary aspect. Just do this. Don't worry about other things. Don't think that you are the topmost devotee. You are not Uttamadhikari. Just do these two things. Primary aspect. Hearing, chanting. Shravanam, kirtanam. Shravanam, kirtanam. You hear about Krishna, you chant about Krishna. That's it. Initial for us. And then slowly, Vishnu, Smaranam, all will come. Okay? The primary aspect of devotion service. Devotional service. When you say Krishna's devotion service means simply hearing and chanting. It's the primary aspect of devotion service. Hearing, chanting, chanting, hearing. That's it. We should never leave this process. It may be a neophyte. It could be a Uttamadhikari. Still he has to do that. Hearing, chanting, hearing, chanting. Very primary aspect, Shravanam and Kirtanam. Devotional service means it starts. That's a base. Okay. So finally, I conclude with Smita. Okay. So we'll stop here. So if, we have been a little bit more technical on that. But smile also was technical, right? Okay. So we'll stop here. And if there's any comments, questions, corrections. Hey,
Hi Krishna. You were talking about how we're the eternal, we're the soul, right? And our body is just a temporary covering. Yet in the Vedic system or the way that the culture is set up, there are not restrictions, but there are I'm going to say restrictions for the lack of a better word, but due to a person's body or a person's nature, in terms of the service that they can provide to the Lord, is that not contradictory? So if we're the soul, and we are, our duty or our agenda is to be serving the Lord, then why have the restrictions based on the body? Or why have the variations based on the body or the nature of this layer?
So putting it into concisely the question, Martha is saying, I said that, you know, that not I said, all the scriptures are saying that we are a spirit soul, but we have got body and we have got individuality. And what's the purpose of that? Why we are all individuals, you know? As a soul, we are all same, you know, because we are a fragmental part of Krishna. We have got, all of us, right, in this room, we have got a body, psychophysical body. That means we have got gross body and subtle body based on our previous past activities. For example, in my previous life, if I'm a smoker, I'm a drinker, you know, what body will I get? I will not be a Brahmin. Okay? I'll get a body just if I'm according to the, you know, material energy, if I were to get a human form, I'll get a body just, you know, I'll be first of all born in a mode of ignorance. And the body, I'll be having only limited lifespan. Because of past activities, I've done a lot of sinful activities. Okay? And then I'll pick up this smoking and drinking and all that, and my life will deteriorate and I will die. Okay? So, based on the previous conditioning, we got a physico-psycho body. And in one of the lecture, Bhanuswami Maharaj is saying, the habits formed with our body is so difficult that it's impossible to change. Some of these things, even Bhanu Maharaj is saying, for example, someone has got this habit of spitting, something, they make noise and all that. Even that they cannot change. Because of the conditioning, from time immemorial, the soul is captured by the Maya, haunted, it's captured. And this one lifetime we are trying to come out, okay? So we have, the mind is like a container, right? And everything is deposited there. It's very difficult to leave our conditioning. But what happens is, by chanting Krishna's name, by coming in association with the devotees, by taking prasadam, slowly the conditioning changes. Okay? Now, having said that, I would not expect someone, you know, to come immediately and take a initiation on the third day and the Brahmin initiation on 1 month. Right? It's a very gradual and slow process. Therefore, the recommended process, as I mentioned, is primary aspect, hearing and chanting. Whoever comes, right, to the temple, they can always chant Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They can chant. They can hear about Krishna. They can hear about Rupa Goswami's smile. They need not have to hear about, through the devotee they can come. So hearing and chanting, what happens? It purifies the body, mind, senses. And therefore gradually one progresses. Krishna conscious is a lifetime commitment. I remember Keshav Prabhu's one statement, very, very powerful statement. I got stuck, I put it there. He says, we are all, even for devotees he's saying, we are all devotees. But every day morning when we get up as a non-devotee. Have you seen that? See, yesterday I was a devotee. Today I am not a devotee. Because my mind is slow. So every day we wake up as a non-devotee. What a powerful statement is this. Right? So, what we should do when you wake up as a non-devotee? Chant. Primary aspect, chanting. Hearing. You have chanted, you have come and hearing. That is the way, Mataji. So the conditioning is very, very thick. Krishna explains that in the third chapter, right? There are three types of conditioning. What is the three types? Krishna explains. One is a smoke covering. Smoke covering means it's the mode of goodness. Slowly it will go away and they become a devotee because they're not addicted to bad habits. The second one is thickness on the mirror. In the mirror, if you go and see your face, so much thickness is there. Can you see your face? What you have to do? Cheto darpana majada. Chanting. And it will go away. The third one is, that is mode of passion. The third one is mode of ignorance, covering, embryo covering. A child is inside the mother's body, but still it cannot see. You know, it's completely covered. So that is what the problem is. When we come to the material world, the material energy completely covers the soul. The soul is completely covered by giving two bodies, the subtle body and the gross body. And it's impossible to know soul. It is no way in Kali Yuga you're going to know. Except Srila Prabhupada's movement. If you don't come to Srila Prabhupada's movement, you will never know that you are a soul. I can say this. I don't know about you people. Impossible. By chanting, hearing, primary aspect, slowly you know that you are a soul. Krishna reveals, you know. Did I answer your question, Mataji? Or? Is it a bit of a... You're saying why there is individuality, is it? Okay. That's also once before I said that this is because of our past activities. Also in the past activity, if you're not a devotee of Krishna, then you will not be put into the proper condition. So two things are important. In the past life, you're right, you should not be doing sinful activity, or if you have done it, very minimum. And somehow you should have been a little bit exposed to Krishna consciousness. Now if that is the case, then you'll be given proper environment. But nevertheless, you may ask a question, how come many people, you know, we go and sing on the streets and they become devotees? How does it happen? That is because bhakti comes from bhakti. You go and give your bhakti, you know. And therefore, Sukriti is created immediately on the spot. When you chant Krishna's name, and people, as I said, in the mode of goodness, no, straight away they come to the temple the next day. Like that. Okay? So, based on your situation, right? If someone doesn't want Krishna, they don't want to know about Krishna, then they are completely put into the material energy, not even exposed to the Varnashrama system, and they will go down and down. It all depends on one's desire, Mataji. Correct? Now, the advantage in coming to Krishna conscious is one slowly changes the desire. See, if I have not come to Krishna conscious, my desire would be buy a house, second house, third house, fourth house, fifth house, you know, and die. But when you come to Krishna conscious, your desire changes. Okay, one house is okay. Now I'll do some service. Now I'll do more service. I'll do more service. I do more service. And then my desire changes and I become a devotee. And then slowly, as you become a devotee, your number of births also become lesser and lesser. Because at this point in time, say for example, I may have 100 births lined up for my activity. Now as you become Krishna conscious, 97, 93, 90, you know, slowly it's coming down. And then it may be 2-3 births or something like that. Approximately I'm giving. So it's very complex also. And what our mind, we have put in the mind. The mind is creating new bodies. You know that, no? Our next body is already created. My body, next body is already created. Because mind is already creating. So that is why Krishna says, always think of me. Why? You get a spiritual body. We will say, no, I always not think of you. Okay, get a material body. It's a slow process. So the actual thing what you're doing is changing the desire, material desire, to spiritual desire. So in short, spiritual life means managing your material desires. That is spiritual life. How you manage your material desires is your spiritual life. Okay? It's a very big question you asked. We can give a class on that, Mataji. Okay? All right. Any other comments? Okay. We'll stop here. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Nithai Gaura Premanandi.